Got fond memories of that song, What a Day That'll Be, as far back as I can remember. Church life for me, folks was singing that song, What a Day That Will Be. Both my grandparents on my mom's side, it was their request that that be sang at their funeral. I love that song, What a Day That'll Be. Amen. What a day that'll be when I look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace. He takes me by the hand. Won't that be something? Leads me through the promised land. What a day. What a day that'll be. Amen. I appreciate the meeting and I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate you that have come and prayed for the meeting this far and have put into it. The Lord is a great paymaster, isn't He? He's a great paymaster. And if we will work for Him and spend our life for Him, it's a life well spent. We'll never be sorry. We can come down to the end and look back and sing wasted years, but we don't have to. We can take the time that God's allotted us and live for His glory and do invest in the kingdom, and I believe that we can reap the benefits of that throughout all eternity. I have a great desire to hear Him say, well done. Don't you? I want to hear Him say, well done at the end of the way. I don't know that ever want to hear that. I don't know that I will, but I want to. I want to. I agree with one fella as I think about myself. I mentioned the other night about a lady who said, I'm not what I ought to be, but I ain't what I used to be. And I ain't what I'm going to be because He's not through with me. I heard a man say this one time. He said, I'm glad the Lord's not through with me. He said, I remember the day that God put me in His oven. He's still cooking on me. And he said, I look forward to the day when He opens God His big old oven and pulls me out and says, well done. And I want that, don't you? Sometimes you got to go through the fire, through the valley to get the victory. But the Lord is, He don't throw the clay away, and He knows how much fire that it can take. And so I'm glad to be in His hand, ain't you? Glad to be in His hand. That's a secure place tonight. Is being in the hand of God. If you're not in that, then you're in danger. Tonight, we are living in dangerous times, perilous times. And so it's good to be ready to meet Him. I want to be ready to meet Him. It could be tonight, you know, that He comes. And I'm glad I'm ready. One day He will come. He will not tarry. And it won't be any time then to get ready. So now's the day. Now's the time. Pray for us tonight as we try to preach. We want to be faithful to the Lord. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And Hebrews 1. I need the Lord tonight. Sure can't preach without Him. There is a special touch that we know that can't be faked. It can't be made up or worked up, and it must come from Him. I know we have to do our part, but I'm thankful He'll touch us, and He's been faithful to do so, that it'll be effective on the hearts, and God knows what you need. Amen. I'll say this before I preach. I want to say to this church, I believe you know this, but this week I've stayed with Brother Logan and his wife. My whole family have. They're dear friends of ours. But you're blessed to have him as your pastor and his faithful wife and children and their family being a light. I encourage you to pray for him. And I know he has the right spirit and he loves this church. He loves you, everybody. Anybody that comes through them doors is going to be loved. And he's going to preach what God lays on his heart. And he's going to do it in the right way. He's got the right motive every time, I believe. I got confidence in him. He's a good friend, and I appreciate him. And I just want to compliment him before the church here. And I hope you know as a church how blessed you are to have this young family in your life. And I praise the Lord for them. And our friendship, sisters cooked us breakfast every morning. And I said today that was carrying on what you want to eat. And I said, well, if I was just being honest, I'd tell you I'd like some fried taters. You know I eat fried taters for supper. I said, oh, I was just carrying on. But I did kind of want some. But I got fried taters for supper. And she's fixed us meals, and our children have played together, and we've enjoyed the good time there. And I praise the Lord for that. He has been so good to me. And I could speak about many people tonight that's here in this house that are my friends and the Lord, preaching brethren, faithful people. And I can count on you being there. Word of God said a friend loveth at all times. And not just when you've got something to offer. When you're down in the valley, a true friend will get down in there with you. When you're going through a trial, he'll care. And I do count myself blessed that I have a lot of friends. But I don't know how you would necessarily number that. But in this life, I would say, as many people as you'll meet, you will find few friends, true friends. But a friend is a wonderful thing to have. And if all our friends forsook us, we've got one that won't. And what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. I'm glad of that tonight. Look at the Word of God with us here in Genesis chapter 1. I'll just read just one verse here. I may make mention of a couple other things as I begin to preach. It said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So that was in the beginning. In the very beginning. Now you and I would probably consider ourselves nearing the end. That's been 6,000 years ago. Been a long time ago. But God was there in the beginning. And then just to draw attention to our thought tonight, I felt this is what the Lord wanted us to read. In Hebrews chapter 1, you find the first word of this book Paul wrote to the Hebrews. It is God. Here he is talking about God many, many, many years later. Over 4,000 years later from where I read in the beginning God. Now we have the Apostle Paul writing God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake. So he says God spake. That means God's still speaking. He says God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in the times past unto the prophets, unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he hath made the worlds. And so you pray for us tonight. I'd like to go to the Lord in a word of prayer, if you would bow your head with me. Lord, I do thank you tonight. I do bring myself humble before you. I am mindful, Lord, that I can do nothing without you. Lord, I pray you'd give me strength tonight and power to deliver that you've laid upon my heart. I pray that you'd use me now for your glory and bless the hearers tonight. Oh God, that your word would penetrate beyond even the thoughts, but down into the heart where the work is. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you're a wonderful God and you bless us so. We give you praise for all that you do. I pray for that liberty that Paul said. Pray for us that the Word of God may have free course. I pray tonight that you would accomplish what you so please, and whatever it is, we'll be grateful to be thankful. Thank you for all that you do. In Christ's name, help us now is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach a little bit with the help of the Lord. I had several thoughts on my heart, all concerning the Scriptures, somewhat that I've read, all tied with that. But as I sat in the pew, and I was just pondering about it tonight in the song service, and as we begin to sing and worship the Lord, it seemed like this really fastened on my heart. So if I had a title tonight to preach on, I want to preach on a God that still is. And I'm glad tonight that there is a God that still is. And so many things could be said about a God tonight, or our God that still is. But I read to you where in the beginning God, and we know that God spoke all this into existence. I was thinking about last night as we was praying for the dear lady here at the altar and others who had been forward to pray, thinking about their soul and thinking about the Lord. I was thinking about creation. I was thinking about the earth, how it was one time without form, and it was void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, but it says, but the Lord, His Spirit moved upon it. And I thought about how that has to happen in the life of a lost individual. God's Spirit's got to move on them. They say the word for that, I've been told that is, would brood over it, like just hover over it and move. And so I'm glad that I have had that experience with the Lord. If you read in the Word of God, you'll find, I think, the Trinity in the first few verses of the Word of God. I think you'll see God the Father. I think you'll see God the Son. That Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's God the Son. And you'll see God the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, capital S, moving on things. And then you'll see the work of God where God speaks and says, and what God says is. And so He is a creator. And I'm thinking that He is. Just might look at some things here as I try to wade my way in tonight. I just was reading this and my heart was just thrilled just in the first chapter, thinking about the Lord. It says in the beginning, God created. In verse 3, God said. In verse 4, God saw. In verse 5, God called. In verse 6, God said again. In verse 7, God made. In verse 8, God called. And then God said, and God called, and God said. And it just goes on and on. And God said, and God made, and God said, and God said, and God created, and God blessed. And it just goes on. And God said again, and God made, and God said, and God created, and God blessed, and God said, and God saw. I mean, it's God all the way. So I'm glad there is a God. I'm glad there was a God in times past. Now, some people, that's okay. Well, maybe there was even back in the day. I mentioned a statement last night. I forget the statement that I made, but it was in reference to an old black preacher named S.M. Lockridge. Some of you have heard of him, but he preaching about the Lord one time, and I won't get this exactly right, but he said it came out in the paper, I think, that God was dead. Someone declared God was dead. Science, some scientist or somebody said that maybe there was a being, but he died. And he said, I've got a little problem with that. He said, I don't understand. He said, where did you read this in the obituary? What obituary column did you read in it that God was dead? Where did you find this information? Where was it at? And then he said, what was the cause of death for God to die? He said, could you tell me what caused God to die? And he said, if God's dead, he said, I'm pretty upset about it that nobody notified me, because he said, I'm part of the family. And he just rejoiced and shouted and went on. It's a foolish thing to think that God's dead. God still is. He's a God that is, still is. Now, he spoke in the beginning. And as I said, many years have passed now. And Paul's writing here to the Hebrew believers. And he says, God, who at sundry times and various manners, diverse manners, spake. So he said, God spoke before, but he said, God's still speaking. And he said, in these last days, God has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. And so he is a God that still is. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad he still exists. I like the song, there is a God and he is real. Deep in my heart, his love I feel. And when I'm laid beneath the sod, I'll see and know there is a God. I'm glad there is a God. There's a verse in the Bible that reads like this, that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I've never been to battle. I've never been to foreign soil. I've never even looked in a foxhole, much less been in a foxhole with bullets a flying. But I've been told that there is no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. There's many people who live their whole life saying, I don't believe there is a God, but they cried out to him at the last minute in their life. There's many people who live their life declaring that there was no God, but fear gripped their soul of the reality that they was going to answer to a supreme being. Many scientists have went out to declare that there is no God to prove him that he does not exist, and that's okay if they want to try that. I say just let them go. They'll find out there is one. And many of them in our day, many intelligent men trying to just base life trying to explain everything based on science, come to this conclusion that somewhere out there they know there is an intelligent design. They know that this did just not come. I mean, it takes a lot of faith, doesn't it, to look out and see the mountains and the beauty of it. If you've been over where I am, it's beautiful in a different way. Everywhere you go in God's creation is beautiful the way that He made it. To think that all of that come from nothing is sort of, takes a lot of faith to believe that, don't it? It's foolish to believe that. And I'll say this, if you're here tonight and you don't believe there is a God, or if you just set out to live your life that way, you're going to find out different one day, and He's not going to explain everything to you after you die, that you should have sought Him, and that you, because I'm telling you what you're doing tonight, you're living an absolute willful rebellion. And when the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God, if you'll look real close in your Bible, I was taught this and I believe it. In the translation, when all of this was compiled together and it was translated, there's words in italics in our Bible, and it says there is. But the true meaning of that verse, I think I was taught that and I think it's right. It means the fool has said in his heart no God. What he means is no God for me. What he means is ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. What he means is nobody owns me and tells me where I can go and where I can't go and how to live my life. And so it's a foolish thing to think that. And Romans 1 tells us that the invisible things of God, or God himself, is invisible, but he's clearly seen through creation. So the people who die in unbelief are without excuse, because God has showed it unto them. And so tonight, for a man to not believe there's a God, there's no excuse for such a belief. There's no excuse for such a thought. I mean, it is absolute willful ignorance to not believe there's a God. We came from God. We didn't come from monkeys. If we evolved, we're going the other way, not uphill. This man said evolution would be like this if it was so. You got the monkey on all fours, and then he begins to work his way up till he becomes someone dignified or decentness, or someone who is, you know, is upright. And it drew this man, and I wear a tie just out of respect, not all the time, but it sure don't give you the power to preach in. And it don't make you a preacher. It don't make you a good person, what you're wearing. I believe in being decent and respectful. But what I'm trying to say is, if that was so and that was the process, then you could take the tie off and start growing the monkey hair on the back and put us down on all fours, because people are living more like animals in 2020 than they are people. Amen. They're living more like animals than they are people. And we are denying God by the very way we live. And man was nothing before God spoke, and without God he'll return to the same thing. Sister Robin Henderson wrote a song, "A speck of dirt is all I am. God made man out of the dust of the earth, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul." But I'm glad tonight that I don't serve a dead God. I serve a God that still is. And there's some things that God has been doing for years and years and years before I was ever thought of by man. He knew me. But before I was ever dreamed about or thought of in the mind of anyone, a God was. And I'm glad God is not a was God or a has been God, but He's a still is God. And I thought about this sister who shouted tonight. I wonder how many years she's been a saying God is good. Well, I'm glad all these years later she can still say the same thing, that God is good. My little girls are innocent until God speaks to them and lets them know their life. But they hear things that me and my wife talk about, and they form their own opinion. When this coronavirus come out, I'm going to preach what's on my heart. My 11-year-old said, "Daddy, I think Nancy Pelosi needs to go on and get it and go on out of here, because she's a rotten tomato too far gone." I'm telling you, a friend, people who stand boldly and shake their hand and fist in the face of a God, a holy God, it's going to be, I mean, unbelievable. unbelievable of the destruction and the wrath that's going to be poured out on such ungodliness. Oh, mercy. I mean, we're in a day, he said, if judgment must begin at the house of God, if it first begin with us, then where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Listen, you're going to meet this God. It's better to know him before you meet him. Listen, he said he's the one that had the first say. He's the one that had the last say. He's got dominion over you. You're a breathing because he's a letting you. You're a walking upright because he's letting you. He pulls his hand off your life. You're in a mess and you're in trouble tonight. It would pay you to take the message he sends to you and get right with him tonight and get on his good side. For friend, when he comes in vengeance, in flaming fire, I mean, the old preachers preach there's coming a day when the stars are going to fall, and the Bible says that there'll be mighty men who said they'd never bow, would run and cry, oh, rocks and mountains fall on us and hide us from the face of him that set upon the throne. For the great day of his wrath is at hand, and who shall be able to stand? I believe in a God that Brother Dewey Cooper preached about, and a Holy Ghost power, he said, would make big men cry like babies. I'm telling you, there is a power from Almighty God that is real, and it still is today. And I'm glad we're blessed tonight in this day to still know a little about it and to know where our help comes from. I'm glad I know that corn don't grow at Walmart. I'm glad I know that milk ain't made in a factory, friend. It may come about different, but I'm glad that it ain't really too much changed when it comes to creation. Man has really got big. They decided in the book of Genesis, real early after the beginning, they was going to make their own way to heaven. And God said just all God had to do was make it where they couldn't talk to one another and confuse their languages, and it was done. Man's got big ideas today. The book of James says, go to now, ye that say we're going to go into such a city today and tomorrow, and we're going to buy and sell and get gain. He said, you ought to say, if it be the Lord's will. I've got to where I may not use that phrase a lot, but I live with intentions, and you do too. But if it be the Lord's will, if it be the Lord's will, I'll go deer hunting this fall. If it ain't his will, I won't. My dad had plans. My dad's a good man. I love my dad. My dad was 57 years old, about out of debt. He was doing good. He's a strong man. I think him and Louie, his high school friend, and they worked together and been friends for years, and they was plumbing and wiring together. I forget how many, several houses that they had doing, and my dad was doing better than he'd ever done. Dad was wanting a little bulldozer to peck, we call it pecking around on the farm. He was wanting to clean up some cedars. Dad had some intentions, good intentions. He would have probably got a little better truck, and him and Mama was going to live life a little bit different. But one morning in the night, Dad got up and went to the couch. He didn't feel good, and he laid down about 2, and Mom said about 6, she's cooking breakfast and couldn't get him up. He said, let me lay here. He went on in. This was between Christmas and New Year's, about 4 or 5 years ago. He went on in the kitchen and finally said, I can't hardly hold my head up. And he reached and stabbed his fork into his eggs, and he missed his mouth 2 or 3 times, and coordination was messed up. Mom run him to the hospital, and they was going to fly him out. He had a brainstem stroke. It wasn't a blood, it was a brainstem stroke. By the grace of God, he's still with us. But if it be the Lord's will, we'll do these things. It worked on him, and it mixed his emotions. It was all mixed up. And Mom said it was so pitiful. He was almost out of debt. And you know, there's a freedom of being out of debt. And said the day Dad walked in the bank, and he stood in the middle of the bank, and he just broke down, and he went to crying. All of his dreams was gone, you know. All that was gone. And he says, I'd have been better off just to went on. I said, Dad, that ain't right. We don't feel that way. I said, I know you feel that way. I know you feel useless. He'd lift his arm up like that, lay in that bed. It just dead. He'd lift it up and drop it, and it'd fall and hit his belly. Big old tears. I'm talking about a big man. I'm going to tell you tonight, you better not take your health for granted. You better not take the goodness of God for granted. I'm telling you, you better thank God it's as good as it is with you. You better not live a life of complaint. I mean, it's pitiful, ain't it, how we complain and the blessings of God are upon us, and people down the road going through, somebody down the road's got it worse than you. Always somebody a hurting worse, always somebody under a worse slow. But I'm thankful God's still around. I'm thankful he's still around. I told you Brother Hanley said he stopped on the bridge, looked down at that that man, the baptizing, old colored fellow baptizing that river, and he said he raised his hand toward heaven and was fixing to baptize that candidate. And he said when the smoke's cleared off every battlefield and the snow's melted off every hillside, he said, me and God still going to be around. I like that, don't you? I'm glad for a God that still is. He's still God. He is still God. He is still in control. He is still sovereign. I believe it's one of the minor prophets, maybe in the book of Nahum, says he had his way in the whirlwind. They're not calling the shots in Washington. They may think they are, but they're not calling all. And they do make decisions. God ordained government. Romans chapter 13. We're to pray for those in authority because the decisions they make, good or bad, do affect us. It is in the Bible. It is in the Bible. Some people think that Christians ought not to be involved in politics. Why do you think America is so great? One nation under God. Thank God. Indivisible. Liberty and justice for all. It believed it's in our Constitution. We believe that we were created in the image of God. Our president, whether you like him or not, ain't none of them ever went to the right to life rally, but he was there, and I don't know if he is paid to say it. I don't know if he believes it. I don't know if he just thought he'd get him some votes, but I was glad to hear him say that we was created in the image of a holy God. I said, thank God just for somebody that'll speak the truth and admit it, and we are. I'm glad for a God that still is. He's still on the throne. Ain't you glad of that? He's still on the throne. In the end of the beginning, God spoke. The Bible says that Paul did in the last days. We have been in the last days ever since Pentecost. Do you believe that? There was a prophecy fulfilled at Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came and fell on those men. And they spake with tongues and glorified God. And the people who saw them thought they was drunk with wine. And they said, these men are drunk with wine. And the man spoke up and said, they're not drunk with wine. It's early in the day. They're not drunk with wine. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel in the last days. And so that was right after the ascension of Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of the church in the upper room. And then you had the Acts of the Apostles. Early in that book, there was a prophecy fulfilled. Now Paul said, when he wrote, he would say, in these last days. Right. He would say, we, when he talked about the coming of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. That tells me that see, all they'd heard was this. I go to prepare a place for you and I will come again. They had that promise. Right. He had been good to his word. He told them about the Comforter. I'll not leave you comfortless. That came. Everything he had said was. Everything he told him he was and more. And they believed. But it wasn't custom for a young man to espouse himself to a bride and say to her under Jewish custom, I'm going to go prepare us a place and come again. He wasn't going to stay five lifetimes. He was going to come back and get her. And so that's what they judged it all by. And then they died and others died. And then the book of Peter says that in the last days, and see, we've been in them all that time. Right. But in the last days, they would be scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where's the promise of his coming? And it speaks about the forefathers falling asleep. That means they died. That means people like Paul, who said, I believe I'll see the Lord come in my day, died. Right. And unbelieving people watched that and saw that and come to the belief that the message was false, and they just mocked at it and scoffed at it and made fun of it. They've been doing it for years now. But you and I aren't. They are willingly ignorant of this one thing, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise to usward, as some men count slackness, but he is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That could be you tonight. Do you understand the love of God? Do you think God owes you anything? No. Do you understand the mercy of God tonight? That God is so merciful and kind that He could have looked down through the eons of time and saw you. And he could have said, I'll let her rise one more time and go down one more time, because there's a door open and they could come through it and get right with me. He wants fellowship. God wanted fellowship with Adam and Eve. God built man to fellowship. God saw Adam. It wasn't good for him to be alone, but we are made in his image for the purpose. We are born to serve the Lord. The Lord made us different than the animals. People nowadays care more about a dog than they do an infant. That's godless. That's a disgrace. And if you got a dog, that's your business. But there's people who want, I'm going to hurt your feelings if you ain't careful, and I love you and I don't mean to. It's a very scary thing bringing young'uns into this world. It really is. But the Lord said, be fruitful and multiply, and he never stopped. Now, I'm going to be careful here. But I know people who have just decided we're not going to have any kids, and they'll get a dog. Listen, I'm not telling you not to have a dog. It's not my business how much you spend on pets and stuff like that. But I'm telling you, them little youngins of mine are a blessing from God. And I love them, and I cried with my little daughter Hallie. She saved some money through birthday money and a little working money to slaughterhouse and this. And she bought this little dog, and she loved that little dog. And we accidentally run over that little dog one day, and she was on her knees crying, and I was crying with her. Her heart was hurting and my heart was hurting. But they know this, and I teach them this. That dog ain't got no soul. That dog ain't got a soul, but you got a soul. And we got PETA around here and people around here that'll spend their life and think they're doing God a good service, and they'll bend over backwards to save a hug a tree while you're sawing it down to make wood, not understanding that another will grow back in its place, not understanding that God gave us dominion over it. And I believe in being a good steward, and that'd be another message. Some people ain't good stewards. We'll give account for our stewardship, how we treated the blessings that God give us. But this world's gone crazy. The reason is they don't want to retain God in their knowledge. These people who say, I'm a man, a boy, or whatever, but I was meant to be a girl, are shaking their hand in the fist of God. And all of it cannot be blamed on them. It's too much single parenting, too many mamas trying to raise boys, too many daddies trying to raise girls, and it goes on, and I'd take up too much time to preach on all of it. It's not just, it's a broad thing that we're looking at here in America. God meant for you to be what you were. Lord, I don't want to get off on all this tonight, but God needs to be glorified in everything we do. Lord have mercy. But I'm glad God still is tonight. And all of this that's going on is as aggravating it could get. If you're trying to live for God, you'll get aggravated every now and then. You really will. The Holy Ghost fell on Saul one time and he got angry. We need righteous indignation. David had it on the hillside when the giant come out and defied God and defied the army of God. And David said, somebody's got to stand. Somebody's got to shut this dude up. And God had prepared him for the task. He'd done, as he watched the sheep out there, Brother Logan, a lion had come out and tried to take one, and he'd overcame the lion. And then a bear come out and he'd overcame the bear, and he knew that God was with him, and somebody had to stand. Everybody's looking around for somebody to stand. Well, how about you stand? Amen. How about you stand for God? Amen. Lord, let me be the one to say thank you. Let me be the one to let this world know. Yes, that's a big statement. Let me be the one. Right. But God's always got one. He's never left himself without a witness, has he? Right. Never left himself without a witness. And I've never gotten my point, but I'm glad we serve a God that still is tonight. Yes, that helps me. That helps me. Yes. I'm trying to raise them three little girls, make a living, be faithful, be a light, preach, pastor church. I'm glad I ain't in this alone, ain't you? Amen. Glad I'm not in this alone. Glad there is a God. I'm glad He's still around. Amen. Glad He's still in control. He is still on the throne. Paul said God spake. He said in these last days God's still speaking. We've just seen a lady last night said the Lord saved her soul. Yes. That ought to help us. Amen. That ought to give us faith. Yes. That God is still speaking. God moved before there was anything. God moved. In order for there to be salvation, God's got to make a move. Man don't make the first move. God makes the move. God makes the move on you. If God never makes the move on you, you're just like an old dead log. You can't do anything. But God will move on you in your depravity and your hopelessness, and God will speak, and God will awake, and God will bring light, and that light brings knowledge, and that light shines, and that'll let you see. But God doesn't leave things in darkness. He brings things to the light, and everything is reproved by the light. And I'm glad for the gospel light, aren't you?
Yes,
the gospel light.
Amen.
We need it today. The gospel of the Son of God, but God still speaks. God speaks through preachers. God speaks through His Holy Spirit. God speaks through songs. God speaks through creation. We're not without a witness. God still is. You're going to face Him. I need to remind you, you're going to face Him one day. Sir, ma'am, young'un, whoever, you're going to face Him. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. He's going to have the last say. So I'm glad God still speaks. Ain't it wonderful that He still speaks? He speaks peace. He speaks peace. He speaks comfort in words, like Brother Logan said God spoke to him. How much better could it get when you're struggling and in a battle and turmoil and not knowing what to do, and you go to the Lord, you take it to the Lord in prayer, and you can take your burden and leave it there, and you come to God and you say, Lord, I need help, and He says it's going to be all right. What more could He say? Friend, that's shouting ground. God says it's going to be all right. No greater comforting words than that. It's going to be all right. I'm glad God still speaks, ain't you? What has God said to you in this meeting? What has God said to you? Has God said anything to you? I would be scared if God never said nothing to me. Some people believe God doesn't talk. He does. One man said, this preacher says, God does not speak to an individual unless it's through the Word. He says, what you ought to say is, as far as you know, He don't.
Right.
Now, I like that because God does.
Yeah,
that may be all you've experienced, but that don't mean He don't.
Right.
Now, that's not minimizing His Word. I will say this, the Lord never directs, the Lord never speaks through the Holy Spirit that it won't harmonize with His Word. God's not the author of confusion. So I believe, and I think you do, would be called sola scriptura, I believe is the word, but that just means that God's Word is the final authority. And it is. It ain't what I say, it ain't what you say or we think, but it's what thus saith the Word of the Lord. But I'm glad for a God that still is. I'm glad for a God that still is. I'm glad for a God that's still speaking. What's God said to you? You'll stand accountable for what God reveals to you, for the light He gives you, for what God has said to you. I'm telling you, God is good to His Word. Still is good to His Word. He gave Abraham a covenant and made an oath to him. And you know, in that day, there were several ways they would do it. You know, they would stick their hand under here and make an oath and a covenant. Several things they would do between one another that they was going to keep that word. And God made a covenant to Abraham and swore by an oath. And He swore by two immutable things, meaning two things that cannot be undone. And first of all, it was that God, when He swore to Abraham, He swore by Himself, because there was none greater. Now the Word of God tells you not to say, I swear to God. Some people ain't heard that in years because that's all died out. But growing up, if I was a kid, if I told a story and I said, I swear to God, that's the truth, they'd rebuke me for it. They'd have said, don't you say that. The Word of God, Jesus said, let your yeas be yea and your nays be nay. Don't swear by your neck nor by your head nor nothing. Just tell it if they won't believe it, they can, but don't swear. But what that means is when God swear, when God give His Word to Abraham, there was none greater to swear by. God said, I give you my word. He said, there's none higher than me. He said, I'm at the top. If you can't take God's word for it, whose word can you take? Ain't you glad there's a resting place? Ain't you glad there's a place and there's a God that you can take what He says as rock solid? In a day when you can't hardly believe nobody, you can still believe God. And you can trust it no matter how dark it looks, no matter how bad it seems. Apostle Paul was on the ship and hadn't seen sun or moon or stars in about 14 days. He had done told them not to loose from Crete, but they believed the owner and the master of the ship more than the word spoken by Paul. And they got out there on the ship and he got word. God had done told him he was going to go to Jerusalem, I believe it was. But he said, I need some reassurance. And so he went away. Listen, if you need some help tonight, get alone and pray. God's still speaking. God's got a word for you. And he said he went after a long absence. Paul came back and he looked at the men and he says, you can be of good cheer. He said, an angel of God whose I am has stood by me this night, told me if we'd stay with the ship, we'd be all right. And here's what he said, sirs, I believe God. I'm glad I can believe God. Will you believe God tonight? Will you believe God with me? They said this, I've heard this story that Mays Jackson went and he preached on that if two agree, touch and agree, it'll be. Y'all heard the story? Said he went to the meeting and preached that and said a little boy come up and said, will you agree with me that my daddy will get right with God and come home and get saved? Well, he's done preached it. What's he going to do? He says he would. But then he gets troubled about it. He goes in the room, calls his wife and says, Mama, we got to pray. We got to pray. But God didn't let him down. Said every night he'd preach, that little boy would do that right there. Can you imagine? We agreed on it, preacher. Just two. Ain't that something? That thrills my soul. Now, I didn't live that story, but I believe it because I know that's the kind of God we serve. Said he'd preach that night and that little boy would go. Boy, that put the pressure on you, wouldn't it? And said the meeting went a while. The little boy would go, just smile. He was so happy. That's childlike faith. Oh, how we need it. Oh, how we need it again. Childlike faith. A child just takes that daddy at his word. If I told them little ones, I'm going to fly over that mountain, they'd liable to believe me. I mean, they're getting a little older now. But see, as we grow, sometimes we can be tempted to lose that childlike faith. But that childlike faith is the nearest faith that is to God. That just takes God at His word. Said one night, now I can't remember exactly all the story, but I do know the preacher called him and said, well, guess what? He's down here. Who's down where? He said, that man, he's down here. He's on the altar to church. He's getting right. Come on down. Now that's God right there. That's the same God Paul said, sirs, I believe God. You say we're going to make it. He didn't say we was going to come in smooth sailing. Some rode in on boards. Some just whatever. But they made her to shore. We're going to make it, Brother Roger. God's done said we would. I mean, we may come in tattered and torn, but we're going to make it. It may not be, there's smooth landings and then there's rough landings. That old ship rammed into the shore, broke it in half. But they went on in and God was with them. And then they on the shore, they went in and a bunch of barbaric people who didn't even believe there was a God. But God made believers out of them too. And Apostle Paul came up to the fire and the serpent come out and beat him on the hand and he shook him off. Thank God that's our God I'm talking about. That's my God right there. Is he your God tonight? Was it Ruth and Naomi and Orpha? Their husbands died and she says, y'all just need to go on. She said, I'm too old. I can't raise up sons to marry you and for this thing to go on. Just go on. Orpha said, all right. Kissed her and went her way. But Ruth said, I can't do it. Wherever you lodge, I'll lodge. Where you go, I'll go. And your God will be my God. I remember when he became my God. I used to go to church and watch them worship their God. Mama tell me about her God. But I remember day when he become my God, and ever since I love the song, my God's real. I can feel him in my soul. He'd be your God too. He can be your God too tonight. I recommend him to you. This God will never sell it. He'll never sell him short. He'll always tell you the truth. He'll be honest. He'll do everything he said he would do. He's rich. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills too. You can't ask too much of my God. This God we serve can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might ask or think. This God still is. He still is. What's he said to you? He's still speaking. Glad he's still saving. Is you glad he's still saving in 2020? Glad he is. He's still satisfying. These are the words that God give me here. Give me just a minute to find my scriptures here. Bear with me just a minute. I know it's in Psalms 105 and Psalms 107. But the scripture says that he satisfieth. And I'm glad God's still satisfying. You bear with me here. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Here it is in verse 8. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." That lady testified back there. I looked at Brother Ken. Did y'all see me? I said, "Is that her?" See, I'd never seen her before. That lady testified back there. Is she 82? Well, she's about 80. And she just got saved a few weeks ago in a meeting at Sullins Branch. I'm glad God still is. Amen. And her testimony was, "I feel like I've been roaming around forever. But I found a place home. I found a place to call home. I found my way." And I'm glad there is that kind of God. Give me just a minute. I'm looking over it somehow. But the scripture is, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," with all that's in 103. I'm sorry. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and with all that is within me, bless his holy name." "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle." I'm glad he is a God that still satisfies. I believe there is a drink to be had, don't you, that satisfies. I believe he's the same God today that he was. We know that Jesus Christ was the God-man. We know that he was so much man that he got thirsty and sat down by the well at Jacob's well. But he was so much God that he knew there would be a woman who would come in the middle of the day with water pots in her hand, who had a greater thirst, who had a greater need, and that he was the only one living who could satisfy her soul. And we know that they had a conversation and they talked a little while, and only God could know the things about her that no one else knew. And he told her all she ever did. And he told her that there was a drink that she could get. She said, "This well is deep. Our father Jacob dug this well." He said, "You drink of this well, you'll thirst again. But," he said, "if you would drink of this water that I've got to give you, you would never thirst. And if you knew who it was that said to thee, 'Give me a drink,' you'd ask him, and he'd give you living water that would satisfy you forever. If you've really been born again, you've never looked nowhere else for satisfaction. You've never said, if you've really come to know Jesus, you've never said, 'I'll try Muhammad tomorrow.' No, because you've been satisfied. No, sir, I don't believe for one bit. There's a lot of people who said they believed and they turned and walked away. But I believe the grand mark is, I believe in grace. I believe in grace. I believe in repentance and faith, that they're inseparable graces. And I believe once a believer, always a believer. I believe that right there tells the tale whether you really believed or not. Because my friend, when God makes a believer out of you, you'll know it and you'll be satisfied in your soul. And if you was to go away, if you went to the world to seek satisfaction, you'd be just like the prodigal son. You'll never find it. You'll never find it. You'll come to the realization that those back at the Father's house got bread and enough to spare. You'll come back home. Do you believe that? You'll come back home. You know. You know if you know God. I believe that. I'm glad he's still God. He still is. I'm glad he's still speaking. I'm glad he's still saving. I'm glad he's still sovereign. He's in control. I'm glad that he still satisfies. Still does today. He ain't changed one bit. He said, "I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. I'm Alpha and Omega. I was and is and ever shall be God. I'm God. I am thy God. He is the God of my salvation." Salvation comes from God. I preached last night on the salvation you can see. Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Mercy still extended tonight. God is still able. God is able tonight. Do you need the Lord? Do you need God? That lady at the baptized another day who got down on the bridge I was telling you about and was repenting and crying out for mercy and said she found God, she found Jesus, she was thanking Jesus as she rose up. She come back there and she said, I've been a horrible person. And she said, my boy has gotten saved. And she said, I know that I needed God. But she said, he looked at me the other night and said, Mama, you need to find God. And she said, I've been tore all to pieces. I've prayed all night. I said, well, ma'am, did you found him? Did you find him? She said, I sure did. Wouldn't you like to find God tonight? I'm telling you, he ain't way off over yonder somewhere over that next hill. If you have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he's right near you tonight. He's nigh them that be of a broken heart. And it's not necessarily the truth, even though that's the way we feel. We find God, but God come looking for us. He come looking for us. And I'm glad he looks. He comes to seek and save that which was lost. Ain't you glad there's a God that still is? He still is. I need to know that. I have to be reminded of that. When I'm overwhelmed and I don't know what to do and I feel like that I can't go and I know I can't in my own strength, it does me good to know that there's still a God that's all wise and all powerful. You know, Bill Gates is involved in this... And all this is going on and different opinions about him, but he could be in over his head in it. But we'll just leave that be. No point in mentioning that. But I did hear it said years back, you know, he was considered the most wealthiest man in the world, richest man on earth, and the billions of dollars that he had. And the scientists done a study that said that if he was in charge of feeding all the birds in the world, that he would go belly up in 3 days. But our God has been doing it for over 6,000 years. I like to brag on a God like that, don't you? Why would I be ashamed of him? Lord, I mean, he's been doing it all that time. He said to you and I, he said to Israel and Malachi, that they felt like that they wasn't getting nowhere. He said, well, if you do right, he said, bring your tithes into my storehouse, just like I've asked. God said, there's windows in heaven. He says, all I got to do is raise them and the blessings will just pour out to overflowing. He said that you have not yet room enough to receive it. I'm glad God is still blessing his people. God is still blessing his people. God is still helping his preachers. God's still taking care of his church. God still meets our needs. I could tell you several things that what God has done for me. We were standing around over the other night, just some of the brethren sharing some experiences that we'd had with God. Several years back, I was in a little tight place. Several years back, and I'm reluctant to tell. For a long time, I wouldn't tell this, but for the glory of God, if the Lord will bring it to my mind, I'll tell it for Him. I was in a church in the mountains down there in Jamestown, Tennessee, and preaching up on Buck Mountain at a little church, a lot smaller than this. And we had cattle in the field. I could have sold a calf. But my wife brought it to my attention. She said, the house payment's due Monday. And she says, you remember, we put it on that automatic debit thing. And she said, it'll come through whether the money's there or not, and we'll get an overdraft. And she said, we don't want that. That'd make us look bad. What are we going to do? And I had that meeting on my heart, and I was heavy-hearted, and I said, it'll be okay. And first of all, I didn't want her worrying about it. That was my responsibility. And I didn't want her to worry about it, but I understood her worrying about it. But I didn't go pray this prayer, Lord, take care of us, because I had a credit line I could write it on. But we did not have the money present. And I went on to the meeting, and I had a meat route. I was running for my father-in-law at that time. I run my meat route. It was $75. My truck gas was expensive then, and it was really high, and it was a pretty good distance to the meeting. And I had $40. First in my pocket. That $40 was to get me down to church, and then I made $75 that day, and it was $75 in a penny to fill my truck up. So it was $75. I didn't think much about it. The meeting closed on a Friday or Saturday night, probably Saturday night. They passed a little old plate, something like that, and two men took it in a little room, something like that. Never thought nothing about it. Hey, God's man ain't in it for the money.
That's right.
God's real preachers ain't in it for the money. But prayers won't put tires on a car. Take care of Brother Logan. Don't worry about me. Take care of your pastor. God will take care of me. I ain't wanting your money. You know that. I'm telling a story about God. How big God is. He's big. He's amazing. He's awesome. And they went in there and come out and handed me a little envelope. I put it in my Bible and went on home. And somewhere in the midst, and most preachers wouldn't confess this, but somewhere in the midst of all that, I opened my Bible and seen that little envelope in there, looked, and it said, Brother Jeremy, and right below it. Now, my house payment is $470. And it was a love offering. Ones and fives and twenties. I don't remember what I was in there. But it was just wadded together, placed together, and put in there. It said $470. Right to it. I'm glad God let me have that experience.
Amen.
Probably a year later, we still had cattle in the field. We would have been fine. God didn't have to let this happen. But we had a change everywhere. We'd just been throwing change. And things got a little tight. And my wife sat down in the floor Indian style and rolled the change. You know how much it was? $470. And she testified a few Sundays later and shouted about it. And I'm not bragging on her. I am too, I guess. She said, Lord, as I sat in the floor, I said, if it's got to come down to this, to counting the change, for me to see your hand at work, I want to live that way.
Yes.
And she said, God said, that's right. And I want you to know one day I'm going to bring it all down to the change. And I'm glad He is.
Yes.
This God I'm preaching about is going to change everything one day.
Yes.
Thank God. Brother Hanley said that the old black man said that they'd been mean to him, you know, and he'd lived a good life and he'd worked hard and hoed his own row. But he died and those prejudiced people, and I'm not prejudiced to a man because of the color of his skin. I'm not. And I'm prejudiced to certain values and things like that. And if you're white and you're a thug, I don't care much for you. If you're black and you're a thug or Mexican, if you won't work, you don't eat. I mean, God's word don't speak well of you, friend. But anyway, they buried him on the backside of a fence row that was growed up where nobody could see him. But one day the state bought the land and changed the road, and he was right on the road. And all them people who hated him was on us. He said, just stay with it. It may look like you're being the one who's always getting the short end of the stick, being mistreated as a child of God, but one day the road's going to change for us. One day God's going to bring it all down to the change. You say, preacher, I can't climb them hills like I once used to. I can't work like I used to. I can't do like I used to. Can't none of us. But one day God is going to change our vile bodies and give us a new body, a glorified body, fashioned alike unto the glorious body of the Son of God. This God's going to do all this. I'm glad there is a subject of a holy God. When you take it upon yourself to preach about Him, you can never exhaust it. But I'm glad in 2020 we serve a God that still is. He still is. Hey, I want to say this before I go. Me and that young lady right back there is going to walk the streets of gold together. Yes, ma'am, we are. I come across that hill and I seen her out there in that wheelchair. She's got a brighter smile than I got. She's an inspiration to me. But we crossed that hill, brother, and I seen her out there in that wheelchair, and as I was winding down through there, I said, I don't know if I'm going to be able to tell her or I'm going to have to write her a letter if I ever see her again, but I want to tell you while I can, one day me and her is going to walk the streets of gold together, all because of this God. And all He's done, and He ain't done yet, thank God. He's still on control, in control. He still is tonight. He still is. He can help you, Jacob. All He's got to do, speak the word and it'll be. It's all He's got to do. Believe Him tonight. Embrace His word. Listen to His voice. Obey Him. Whatever He says, do it, as Brother Logan said. I'm glad I know this God. I'm so glad that I wasn't raised in a third world country and told that Allah was God. But I was told of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, the God that is. We're so blessed. We've heard the gospel. We know the Holy Spirit. We know what true love is. The love of God. That's the purest form of love. You've known nothing tonight until you've known the love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. The third, is it the second or the third stanza of the love of God, supposedly in our songbook at church, have y'all read that? Was a man who is considered to be demented, and he was in an insane asylum. But he wrote that, the love of God. He wrote about the love of God. One fellow got saved, and they said, "You have went crazy on this God thing." He said, "Well, if that's all right. He said, "Here's what I'm telling you to do. You find the best psychiatrist that you can find, and you get him to declare me beyond help. If this is crazy," he said, "I'll just stay this way. Amen. I don't want change, do you? I want to love my God. I want to worship my God. I want my children to know my God. I want them to know that more than success. I want them to know that more than financial freedom. I got many dreams for them. I want a good son-in-law one day to help me bust wood. Yeah, help me fence. Maybe go hunting with me. I like life." And so I got dreams. But I'm so thankful. All this is vain without God. None of it's any good without God. If you're lost tonight, there's an emptiness in your soul that only God can fill. There's a longing in your hungry soul that only God can satisfy. There's a sin debt that only God can pay. Yes, sir. There's a problem only God can fix. There's a sickness that only God can heal. He's the answer. You'll find it nowhere else but in God. There's no rock like our God. There's no God like our God. See, the Word of God says, besides Him, there's none else. And that can mean two things. Beside Him, that would be equal. Nobody equal. Besides Him, just means there's no other God. Everybody else in the Bible who claimed to be a God or was worshipped as a God is a little g, ain't it? But when you see our God mentioned, it's a big G. Amen. He is the God. He is the only God. And I'm glad that He is. Yes, sir. Well, I don't know what else to say, but thank the Lord. Okay. He's been good tonight. Brother, you come. Y'all want to sing? Whatever you want to do, whoever needs to sing, y'all come sing. Let's obey the Lord. Let's worship Him. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings, undeserving who we are? I just want to thank Him, love, and praise Him a little today and a little bit more tomorrow. Amen. While we stand and while we sing, I love you. I love you, preachers. I love you, preachers. I love you, sisters. I listen to you sing. I love you. I love you, men. Love you, children. I love you. I love you, people. I love everybody tonight because the Lord is in my heart. Amen. Ain't He good? Yes. Obey the Lord tonight.